Florida public schools have a system to make sure kids don't go hungry during the year. But what happens when school is out? We're discussing summer hunger on today's Speaking Of. We hear from a pastor in Madison, Florida, who is helping keep kids fed. We also have a farewell interview with the outgoing CEO of Second Harvest of the Big Bend.
A system is in place at Florida's public schools to make sure kids don't go hungry. During the school year, they can access free breakfast and lunch in the cafeteria, and they sometimes go home for the weekend with a backpack of food. That system changes in the summer, so keeping kids fed who otherwise may go hungry becomes the job of nonprofits and volunteers. They step in to fill that gap, which is helped by a federally funded program called Summer Break Spot. It's free, and here's a little about it from the state.
The Summer Food Service Program, also known as Summer Break Spot, provides nutritious meals at no cost to children 18 and under while school's out for the summer. Students who depend on school meals also depend on Summer Break Spot to ensure they have energy to keep their mind sharp and return to school ready to learn. Meal sites are located at places like parks, libraries, and churches and offer breakfast, lunches, snacks, or supper. Summer Break Spot is funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and is administered by the Florida Department of Agriculture and the Consumer Services Division of Food, Nutrition, and Wellness. How do I know if I'm qualified to be a sponsor? To become a sponsor, your organization must be a nonprofit. Eligible organizations include public school districts, private schools, charter schools, local government agencies, camps, faith-based organizations, city and county parks and recreation departments, and other nonprofit community organizations.
And the state says half of Florida's children qualify for free or reduced price lunches. In the summer, community volunteers are crucial in helping meet that need. Pastor Charles Matlock and his wife are among those volunteers. They moved to Madison, about an hour east of Tallahassee, a few years ago to plant a church called The Bridge.
When we moved to Florida to plant The Bridge, we had an opportunity to take on the summer break program, and we jumped on it because Madison is one of the poorest counties in Florida. And it's our understanding through Second Harvest that every child in Madison County, 18 years old and under, qualify for free lunches. And so when we saw the opportunity to serve our community in a way that met tangible needs, we stepped into it.
Can you help us understand how big is the gap when those school meal programs stop for the summer?
It's huge. 42% of the households here in Madison have children under the age of 18. And so often in a lot of our neighborhoods, when school is out, they don't eat lunch. So that two-month window of being out of school, so many of the children in our community, they just don't eat.
And it's hard to imagine that, I think, for many people, just the idea that people living not so far away don't have enough food.
Right. It's in every community. Hunger is a big need in our world today, from small towns like Madison to around the world. We lived in the jungle of Peru for a few years, and we saw hunger there in a big way. Traveling to places like Malawi, Africa, we see the need. But to come home and realize that there's just the greatest need here is devastating.
Yeah. In your experience doing this kind of work and helping people in this way, have there been any families or any situations that really that just stayed with you?
Yes. The first one comes to mind is that I have one lady that comes through our drive-through during the summer break spot, and she picks up food for about 10 different families. And she takes her time to do that. She knows her neighbors. They call her on Sunday night, and they say, "Can you please go get us food?" because they have to work and they can't take off work to come. And our line opens at 9 o'clock in the morning and we run for 2 hours. So she's going by, and she's not the only one. We have other ladies that come and give their time to pick up food for multiple people. We have one lady that she gets a list from everyone where she works, and she takes off and she comes over and she gets food for the kids that their parents work at the restaurant where she works. The first lady, I know this past summer, she took 9 of the children that she gets food for each week. She took them to Disney on her own dollar, just to give them a fun summer, to experience something more than just not eating.
Wow.
We hear stories like this a lot. And I had one lady call me. It was a long weekend. And she says, I have a family that I minister to. She goes, the kids don't eat when they're not in school. And can I come get some food? And I'm like, absolutely, we'll take care of you. So we got her food to take to the kids for the long weekend that they had. And that really kind of stirred us between that and knowing that there's people that work that need the assistance that can't get it. We started here at the Bridge a choice pantry. We call it the Bridge of Hope Choice Pantry. And we do it from 5:30 in the evening to 7:30 so working parents can come. We just had our second service. Our first one, we served 37 people. Our second one, we served 84 people. So it's growing and the word's getting out. And the need is huge.
Yeah. What are the biggest challenges for a lot of these families? Is it lack of transportation? Is it odd work hours? What are the issues that are really big?
It's a combination of both. We are the only place in Madison County that does the summer break spot. And we have a lot of families that are out in the county. They just don't have the transportation to be able to drive into town. Madison's a small town, less than 4,000 people. And we have people over on the other side of town that they can't get here because they don't have a car. And so transportation is an issue, but like I said, also work. People are working, trying to make ends meet, and they just can't take off and come during those times to pick up food from the different places that offer it.
So someone can come there to pick up food and just say, I know a few families and I'm going to take this food to them.
Here's the guidelines that we follow. Second Harvest requires us to have a name and an age and a signature. So if you know all the kids in your neighborhood, you can write down their name and their age. You can come and say, I need to pick up for 15 children. Here are their names and ages. And then you would sign that you received the food. That's
Okay.
the only information that's required. We're not asking any financials. We're not asking any of those other things. It's just names of the children, their ages, and an adult signature to pick it up.
That's
Yes.
interesting. That's good to know. Yeah. What do you think are misconceptions about hunger in our own community? What do you think people get wrong?
That's another great question. I think one of the things is people get wrong that they don't think it exists. Well, people just need to work. Well, they are working. A lot of them are working and they're trying to make those ends meet. But, in our economy today, gas prices are huge. Grocery store prices are huge. We had a Winn-Dixie here in town. They just closed it.
Yeah.
And so we don't have a major grocery store here in Madison right now. We have a small IGA here in town, but it's not big enough to meet the needs of the community. So just being able to get the food that we want, that we need, is limited right now in our community because we're waiting for a new grocery store. So that's a
Yeah.
misconception, I think, is the availability in small rural communities.
As far as the kind of work that you guys do, what hinders you from being able to do more if you wanted to?
Volunteers. It's difficult to get volunteers to come consistently. We have a small team that they're very dedicated. That's one. The other is financial. With the summer break spot, it cost us nothing, only volunteers, a place to store it. But our other ministries, our other food ministries, it requires a little bit more. Like our Choice Pantry, we purchase all the food for that. And so we do have some limitations financially. But volunteers is our big one.
Yeah. So for listeners who are moved by this and they want to help, what would you say would be the most effective ways that they can help you guys or really any program like yours in the Big Bend?
The biggest thing is just find a location close to you and get involved. You start by just doing something. There is a great need out there. Every food ministry I know of would be glad and for more volunteers to help. You can donate financially to Second Harvest, which will benefit their partners. You can also donate to your local ministry that distributes food to the community. So there's lots of different ways to be involved.
Well, thank you, Pastor. We appreciate you talking and thank you for the work you do.
It is our honor to serve our community.
Second Harvest of the Big Bend is a food bank that doles out much of the food that reaches kids. They do that through community partners like the Bridge Church in Madison. Jacob Ryder is serving as the interim CEO, and I asked him what summer hunger looks like across the food bank's service area.
During the school year, a lot of children do rely on school meals. And when school lets out, they lose that safety net. And so summer ends up being one of the most food insecure times for children. And right now, families are already facing tight budgets, the rising food costs, fuel costs, housing. And so, kind of fun stretching funds throughout the summer can be really challenging. But our summer break spot program really helps close that gap by providing access to meals throughout the summer.
How does summer break spot work?
Okay, so our summer break spot program will operate 19 sites across 11 counties. We plan to serve over 1,300 children each and every week. Throughout the summer program, we will serve about 180,000 meals. And how it works is we offer a weekly pickup at community partner sites. So when the family comes, they can pick up 7 days worth of shelf-stable meals. That's breakfast and lunch. And so being able to pick up that whole week's worth of meals, that saves, especially in rural areas, having to come every single day to a site and they can get the whole week's worth.
Tell us about programs and partnerships that you guys use to make this happen.
What's really powerful about this program is it's driven by community partners, and many of our highest volume sites are either faith-based organizations, libraries, nonprofits. They've been doing it for years. They step up to help fill this gap. This particular summer, a lot of them are increasing from serving 60 to 75 children a week to over 120. So they're doubling their numbers. And so the community partners are integrated with the communities that they serve. They're trusted, and they're an essential part of this program.
Yeah. So more kids will be served this summer, which is great, but is this also a symptom of rising costs?
Yeah, I mean, the food bank's always paying attention when there's increased costs, and we target our services to help step up and fill those gaps. In particular, this program is specifically targeted to areas that are really in need.
Gotcha. So we've been talking about summer break spot, but I know that Second Harvest does a lot of rural food distributions. Can you just talk a little bit about how those distributions work and how you get the word out?
Yeah, we have a terrific partner agency network that we work with, over 150 different partners. And we provide food to each of the counties. We're in 16 counties in our service area. We provide food to those counties every single week. And so it's either brick and mortar food pantries, it's mobile drive-up distributions, We have food lockers with 24-hour access. We have a variety of different ways that families can access food in need. And our goal is to make sure no one goes hungry.
What do you wish more people understood about food insecurity?
Well, I think what I wish people understood is that it can impact everyone, whether it's situational or a symptom of poverty. That's what's so important about the food bank, having a safety net for families who maybe need throughout the year or seasonally, or if a disaster hits and people can't access, a grocery store can't access food, the food bank steps in and provides food to those folks. So it's an issue that is across the board. If you know a family with children, you can help spread the word about the Summer Break Spot program in your area. You can access that information by going to our website, fightinghunger.org. And making sure families know where food is a simple and easy way to help connect people. We're also really good at stretching the dollar at the food bank. So anytime anyone donates, whether it's their time, volunteering, or funds, we can make sure that those funds turn into many meals for families in need.
And I'm just wondering, what got you into this line of work? I mean, this is a pretty meaningful and I would think stressful and sometimes disheartening line of work.
Well, I consider it an honor and a privilege to work in this line of work. I did about 15 years working in homelessness in this area and can transition over to food banking. And I have a passion for helping others in need, and making sure that they have access to food is such a critical component to everyone's life. And so I enjoy it. We have a terrific team at the food bank that I love working with. And this community has just been so caring. I'm proud to work here.
That was Second Harvest interim CEO Jacob Ryder. Now he's stepping into that role as Tallahassee is saying goodbye to CEO Monique Ellsworth. We sat down for a farewell interview before she heads north with her new husband to become CEO of Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. Do you have ties to Wisconsin?
None whatsoever.
Wow.
None whatsoever.
Well, this is exciting for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. These are like bittersweet days, these final few days. Definitely bittersweet.
Aw. Well, let's talk about what you've managed to accomplish. You've been at Second Harvest as CEO for almost 7 years.
Yes.
Going through the pandemic would be a hit for anybody trying to, I mean, that was huge. And then you had to deal with a hurricane season in 2024 that had multiple hurricanes hitting the same spot in the Big Bend. And in the middle of all this, you've overseen an expansion of Second Harvest. You're now in 16 counties.
Yes.
What would you say might be the biggest challenge that you've gone through as CEO?
So I started just before the pandemic. So I think scaling an organization that I was so unfamiliar with, and like the logistical complications of a food bank to begin with, and then during a pandemic was just a real roller coaster. Those first 2 years were a lot, but like you said, I mean, we had two pretty active hurricane seasons. Then you remember the tornadoes that hit Tallahassee,
Yes, yes.
Feeding America asking for our service area to increase by five additional counties that were all rural. And then we started a capital campaign and built a building. I think that maybe the biggest push for me has been, how do you keep a staff energized and excited and fueled to kind of respond to crisis after crisis after crisis, and then the scaling that's necessary to accomplish a capital campaign, and then a pretty consistent concern, or maybe just awareness of potential donor burnout. How much disaster can a community face together and
Yeah.
not just be completely burnt out at having to arrive as just complete humans living in the Big Bend, like responding to disaster in their own household, like when we all went through the pandemic, but also standing alongside of a food bank and helping like a social service provider respond also.
So you learned as you went, it sounds like, with some of these huge things.
We were an airplane in the sky flying, and we were like building the airplane as it went along.
Wow. That's a great analogy, and I think by all accounts you've done a great job.
Well, I can't say enough about the team at Second Harvest of the Big Bend. My coworkers, the people that dream alongside of and tackle big, complicated problems like poverty or government shutdown or service provision complications with the pandemic. I mean, I just had a really incredible group of people that I was blessed to work alongside of, and a board of directors that had a lot of trust and allowed myself and my team to dream big and do things differently than we'd ever done, or develop programs that hadn't been done before. You know, like we had a really interesting, exciting, creative 7 years. And I feel really blessed to have been a part of that.
As far as what you've accomplished in these 7 years, what do you think will have the biggest impact?
I think that an organization that is constantly invited to dream big and not be afraid of the next move being the wrong move really serves a community well. We have a resilience as a team. We have a grit as a team. We have developed like the small, scrappy food bank mentality that is necessary for us to do big work in a largely rural service area. And we're pretty fearless. We've just really developed a fearless culture at the food bank, and we're ready for whatever the world has to throw at us.
Okay. And now you're breaking up the team. Why are you doing this? That's not very nice.
And then I'm breaking up the team.
Well, okay, so let's stay positive. So so you've gotten through a lot of these challenges. What lessons have you learned about addressing food insecurity in the Big Bend that you hope will carry on?
Something that I think has been important for us to recognize is the power of community, and to step back and watch how some of our smaller communities have been really creative in the ways that they came together to solve food insecurity. We have a really great partnership in one of the counties that we're in, and they, as a community, developed a delivery program. They recognized that there were food distributions that were happening that Second Harvest was doing. We would come in and bring food, but it really limited the people that could access that food if they could drive to the distribution. So they created their own Facebook group, and they said, like, we will drive the food to your doorstep if you just drop us a note in here that you need a food delivered to your doorstep. And on their own, that community created a whole subset of volunteers that would come through the distribution and be assigned a list of deliveries, completely like grassroots, developed by that community in service to that community, because they saw a gap and they came together to solve that themselves. And I think for a food bank to watch that happen and embrace that and then bring that kind of model to other communities, like, that's been really fun to celebrate the creativity and like fierce advocacy that happens in community for their own community.
That sounds inspiring.
It's incredible. Yeah. Really incredible.
Is there anything that stands out to you as far as your time as CEO where you were deeply affected or it reaffirmed your commitment to this kind of work?
I think that the hurricane response and the commitment that we make prior to every hurricane season, we have to develop a relationship with every Department of Emergency Management in all 16 counties. We also create a network within the partner agencies so that we have a point person in every single county that we can set up and stage to do distributions with post-storms. That has been really powerful to just watch that a food bank can be a convener of really good work. Like, we can help try and pull things together and service to a really positive system of like service and impact. But also like just knowing our lane, like knowing that like this is where we operate and these other organizations can stand up and do really, really excellent work in their lane. And together we can have this united front for a shared purpose. And I think that our disaster response has been really powerful to watch.
Well, you have managed to do a lot in these 7 years. Do you have an idea of what you'd like your legacy to be? What do you hope it'll be?
I think I'm really proud of the environment that we've created at the food bank. As a social worker, I went to school, got my master's here at FSU, and although I didn't use my degree to do direct neighbor work, I always kind of envisioned that my client is my team. And so I think of, what is every member of my team needing? Where are they professionally trying to go? What is their family unit looking like? What struggle are they facing? So I think that what we've really bought into is creating a culture at the food bank that is really focused on how do we pour into our staff so that they can pour into community. Second Harvest of the Big Bend has incredible retention of staff and volunteers. And it's just because when you walk in that building, it's built with love, run by people who love each other and love the work. And I want that to continue.
That says a lot. Low turnover says a lot.
We have really low turnover.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be hard to replace. Any advice for your successor?
I think just love your team, love this community, love the work, love the hard days. My favorite F words, flexibility and forgiveness, be fearless,
nice.
Try new things. Don't be scared of any type of failure, get up and try something new. If you're doing the same thing in 2 years that you started out doing, you're missing the boat. The community needs evolve. And so your strategy should evolve and you should do that fearlessly.
This is amazing life advice. Thank you. Before we let you go, what will you miss about Tallahassee?
My time at CESC or the Kearney Center and my time at the food bank, I had a particular position hat on my head as CEO or executive director. But I think my favorite role in this community has always been cheerleader. Even in Milwaukee, I will be a Tallahassee cheerleader. I think that we have such a beautiful community. And honestly, walking alongside of the Big Bend during the pandemic or any of the, natural or man-made disasters since then, I've had the really unique opportunity and vantage point to watch Tallahassee and Big Bend neighbors love one another. And it's been an incredible thing to witness. And so I think I'll miss the friends who have become family and the outdoor pursuits for me that are joy-giving. I think that those things will be hard to try and replicate somewhere else. So, my husband and I will be back from time to time, and I look forward to watching and participating as well as I can on all the good things to come.
Well, that's wonderful. And Monique, we wish you all the best. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you very much.